You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
How do we get here? And how the hell do we get out? Carlin, 98.7 ESPN at 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. Also on Twitter, at Chris Carlin. That's at Chris Carlin over on Twitter. It kind of feels like a big sigh Monday, doesn't it, if you're a New York football fan? Well, understandably so. Watched those two games yesterday, and somehow watched them again today. And I just came away from it with just such an awful feeling about the state of things. And I really try to be an incredibly positive person. I know sometimes that may not come across, but it's absolutely true. I want to look for the good in things that are happening, and it's very difficult to find right now. And I think about Sundays now, and Sundays are sacred everywhere that you're football fans, but especially
everybody
here.
Everybody calm down.
I would like to, especially since I just hit that button by accident, but the point is this. Sundays are sacred. Sundays are supposed to be that day that we get a chance to sit back, watch football for 5, 6, 7 hours, depending on whether you're limited to just your team based on other responsibilities, or you get to sit all day and just enjoy your day. And there is absolutely nothing enjoyable about what's going on. There is nothing to sit there and say, God, isn't this great? I mean, it's been a bad enough year anyway. So I don't want to chalk it up to the 2020 crap. We're chalking everything up to 2020. I can't do that with these two bad football teams. But it honestly gives you very little to look forward to on the weekends. And it's hard to believe that we are sitting here at 0-6 between the Giants and Jets, but we are. So it got me to thinking this afternoon, how did we get here? How did we get here? And the truth is this. Just as it is a long, painstaking process to get to winning a championship, it is a long, painstaking process to get to being a god-awful football team. And these two, well, if they were trusting that process, oh, it has paid off in spades. It has been so, so tough to watch. And yet we sit here and we watch every week and we put ourselves through it. I sat there at 7 o'clock last night, and I felt like a beaten man. And I'm not even a fan of either of these teams, but I feel for those who are sitting through this hoping to get some joy out of something. That's what we're just looking for these days. Happiness is a myth, all right? Let's be clear about that. Happiness is a myth. You look for the joy in moments. And right now, you are getting no joy in your moments on Sunday. And I'm not talking about your kids. Great. Go enjoy your kids. That's fine. I'm talking about sitting there and being able to enjoy watching football. And this process, you go and you look back, and it's frankly, it's not a mystery. You know, we sit here and we think, how can they be this bad? Well, I went back and looked at the Jets. Look at what's gone on with their drafts since 2015. Look at what they've really put together in their drafts over the last 15 years, but overall, their draft since 2015 has been particularly bad. I mean, you really have maybe one or two potential stars who are still around, let alone the ones that are gone. And there weren't that many to begin with. One winning season in your last nine. I mean, think about this for a second. The good old days are when Eric Mangini was the head coach, or when Rex Ryan was the head coach. Eric Mangini went 23-25 and he got fired. Not that that was the wrong decision. It was because we had a certain level of expectation from football teams around here. Rex Ryan got fired at 46-50, went to two AFC championship games. And at the time, it was the right decision. And then you went from Rex to Todd Bowles, who went 24-40, to this. And I don't even know what to call this anymore. Bad coaching, bad drafts, bad everything, bad talent, bad free agent signings. Think about Tremaine Johnson, how much money he got from the Jets. That was highway robbery for how he played. And then you flip over to the Giants. Since they last made a playoff appearance, they are 12-40. Their drafting, abysmal at best. Abysmal. Their free agent signings, atrocious. So god-awful. The best that both of these teams have been able to do is to position themselves somewhere between the hope of developing great players and realizing that the truth is, if those players turn into contributors, they've done okay. They're both in a disastrous mode. And the biggest problem is the quarterbacks for both teams. Look, you know, I heard Keyshawn say it. I've heard Dan Orlovsky talk about it. I've heard a lot of people talk about how much Sam Darnold has bad coaching, has nobody around him, has nothing to work with. And there are times you see flashes of brilliance. I have to be honest. The play that he made yesterday in scoring the Jets' first touchdown, in evading the rushes he did, and in firing a bullet to Braxton Berrios for that score, oh my Lord, it just gives you all the hope in the world. And you can see the sun shining from plays like that. And then quickly the clouds envelop it again. And that came after he threw a pick six that was his fault. And then later throws a red zone interception. And then later throws another pick six. Flashes aren't enough. Flashes aren't enough to continue to base hope on. You can sit there and tell me all you want about how the Jets, their big problems, none of them center around the quarterback. And we're watching different games. I get it. They lose Mekhi Becton. He's running around. He can't stay out of the way of the rush. Truth is, that's part of why he's here. His ability to move around. I look at Daniel Jones across town, and it's much of the same. Granted, it's only year two, so we have to be a little bit more patient with him. But frankly, what do you see from Daniel Jones right now that gives you hope? The turnovers have not stopped. Four straight games with at least two. Every Giant fan coming out of the woodwork last week telling me, oh, don't worry, we've got our guy. Not so fast, my friend, in the immortal words of Lee Corso. Not so fast. I don't know what you've got, and you don't know what you've got. What we all have to face is simply this right now. What you don't want to admit. These two teams are in a rebuild. And we talk about that, and we discuss it, but we don't really want to think about what it actually means. And what it actually means is they are rebuilding because they don't have good enough talent to win football games. This is why Joe Douglas wanted a 6-year contract. He knew what he was looking at, and he knew that it was going to take time. And in the moment, you can deal with hearing about the words like trust the process and we're going through and trying to get better each day. You can deal with that. But when you see the actual results, it becomes harder and harder to deal with. And this is why Joe Judge wanted a 5-year contract, because he knew it was going to take a long time. He knew that he wanted to build this the right way, and I give him credit for talking about that. That's great. That's absolutely true, because when you try to shortcut things, it just doesn't work. So now you are simply living in that reality. How do you get out? That was the question we asked at the beginning, right? How you get out? Just by being patient and getting better players and getting the right people in charge. Joe Douglas is the right guy to be in charge of the Jets. Joe Judge is looking like the right guy to be in charge of the Giants. Dave Gettleman is not. Adam Gase is not. Firing them right now, honestly, what does it do? It gives you a little bit of relief for a couple of days. But then you still got 13 more weeks of pain before you can start to talk about who your new GM and who your new coach is going to be. Doesn't accomplish anything. Dowell Loggins taking over is not going to make the Jets go on a run or inspire them. Or Greg Williams and his dopey motivational tactics and words and tough guy attitude who wants to punch out the virus. He's not changing anything about this team. Gettleman getting fired, not changing a damn thing about this team. Face the truth. How you get out of it is to own it and deal with it and understand what it is. And I know it's not a pleasant thought, especially considering how many times you have been here before. None of what happened in the past actually matters. This is just your reality. And just thank the good Lord above that if you have season tickets, you're not paying for this garbage this year. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. One reason to absolutely fire Adam Gase soon, we will give you through the course of the show. We will tell you one part of Joe Judge that is getting old but quick. We will tell you a reason to actually have hope that the Jets may win on Thursday night. And we will have plenty on the Yankees. You could take a little breath right there, huh? Somebody's at least in the postseason.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Alvin in Queens. Let's start. Get it off your chest. Do whatever you have to do. It's what we're here for. Alvin, you're up first on 98.7 ESPN. What up, bud?
What's going on, man? Listen, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. If you put Sam Darnold next season, let's say playing for the Saints, will he be a better quarterback?
I don't know. I think so. I think if he had better talent, he'd be playing better. But when I see decisions that are made, however they're made, whether they're made out of wanting to make a big play or made out of confusion or just not sure what to do, it doesn't matter. The mistakes are still getting made, and they can't be made.
But there's other teams that have younger quarterbacks or the equal amount of time as Darnold, and we still don't know what Sam Darnold really is.
Well, this is the problem, Alvin. I think that we're starting to approach that time where we can stop asking the question. We may already have the answer if we feel like we're still asking it.
Now, this is what I'm saying. Josh Allen, look at this kid, man. He turned this year. He's probably going to have an MVP. He's already having an MVP season. And Buffalo already knows what they have. The kid in Cincinnati, Burrow, we already know 3 games in the season, and we already know that Burrow is going to be a great quarterback. And we don't know that from the Jets. Why? Because the whole system is a mess. It's a joke.
Well, there's a couple of things to keep in mind there. You want to be optimistic about it? Here's a couple of things to think about. The age factor. Darnold came into the league when he was 20. Joe Burrow is older than Sam Darnold. I think Josh Allen is 35. No, I mean, Josh Allen is a guy that when he was in college, you know, I'm looking at his age up. Yeah, he's 24 years old already. So, you know, Darnold's 23 right now. He's just having turned 23 this past year. So, I guess you can look at things like that, but you're right. Darnold, maybe he didn't play enough quarterback in college. Maybe he came out too quickly.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to say this. If the Jets let go of Sam Darnold is going to be a great quarterback. Because if you see what Adam Gase has done with players, Tannehill, right? Tannehill.
All right, yes, yes. Tannehill is a guy to look at, Alvin. Thanks for the call. But the problem is this. Tannehill has Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry makes things infinitely easier for a quarterback. He really does. Play action with a guy like Derrick Henry, that's off the charts. And if you saw what they did early in the game yesterday, Tennessee, I mean, they're able to go play action and throw a deep ball on the second play of the game because of Derrick Henry. When you're trying to stop that guy who's an absolute beast, you have to respect the run game. What do the Jets have on offense that has to be respected at all? Mekhi Becton went out of the game yesterday. The Jets have very little that should be respected. Kevin in Northport. Kevin, what's going on, bud?
Hey, Chris. What's up, brother?
How are you?
Good. How are you? So I remember about a week or two ago, you were talking about the Jets maybe getting Allen Robinson. I was wondering what you think about a potential Zach Ertz trade. I know Philly was thinking about not wanting to pay him, and I know it might seem like more of a win-now kind of move, but maybe you get Sam a real weapon for once and see what happens.
I'd say this. I can't do that with Zach Ertz at turning 30 at the end of this season. Turning 30 here in a few weeks, in fact. He's taken a lot of he's played a lot of football, Zach Ertz has, in Philadelphia. I don't know that I would go down that road. But I would say this. I'm tired of hearing about Chris Herndon. I mean, look, I know Chris Herndon has not played a lot of football in the NFL just based on his games played. But I've heard that he's supposed to be so good, and I have not seen that remotely yet.
Yeah, I agree.
You need weapons. You need weapons all the way around. We haven't seen Denzel Mims once yet because of the injuries. You know, maybe you could hope for something like that later in the year. But rookie receivers, especially ones that don't play at all in camp and now haven't played the first couple of weeks, trying to get them to make an impact in year one is asking way too much of them.
Definitely agree with you there. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks, Kevin. Boy, we all sound down, don't we? And I don't want to. I want to be positive. I want to be happy. I want to be happy. I will say this. I'm just going to throw this out there. If you're looking for something good to watch, you know what I've been watching lately? That is a really good show. And I know this is out of nowhere, but it actually makes you feel really good. That Ted Lasso from Jason Sudeikis is a really, really good show. It is not what you think. I'll tell you about it another time. But check it out. It's on Apple TV. Matt in Jersey is next. Matt, what's going on, bud? How are you?
I'm good, Chris. How you doing?
I'm good. What's going on?
So real quick, a couple things. One, you know, I look at Sam Darnold, and I just looked at it. He just excels in the play action, but they don't have a running back to sell play action. And Van Roten and Fant could be the worst right side of the offensive line in football. They don't sell the run well at all. They're not good
blockers.
And Fant
wasn't even in there yesterday.
I know, and I'm talking about, like, and whoever they had in there, was it Adoga, was even worse.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you know, the receivers, they're trying to run this West Coast system that Gase tries to run everywhere, and the receivers can't get a step. And I can't see him go fast enough. I know what you're saying, that, you know, what good does it do getting rid of this guy now? You feel good for a few days. I look down the turnpike, man, when Rutgers got rid of Chris Esch, it just allowed you to breathe this sigh of fresh air, like, finally, we're going to get an adult in the room who knows what they're doing. And I would love to have a coach come in, even if he's, you know, you're not going to see anything out of Greg Williams. I think, you know, the game kind of passed him by as far as the head coaching. I think Loggins might be the worst offensive coordinator that the game has seen in the last 15 years. But what I really need is a coach who's going to come in and really work with Douglas, saying, hey, where do we need to address, you know, this roster so that we can build a team that's going to play the system that the coach wants to run? Because I think what we've seen is this team trying to shoehorn the best player at the best pick and, you know, whatever free agent we can afford. And these guys just don't work in the system. And, you know, when we're building through free agency, a lot of these guys are there because they get hurt and their teams don't want to give them the long-term contract. So I'd love to see them bring in a personnel guy. I know McShay was on the radar, and I'd really love to see the Jets, you know, really come in with a plan and have a coach in place and really not going into free agency in the draft completely blind like we have the past few times we've hired a new coach or a new GM.
Look, I get that glimmer of hope idea. But I would also say that you had 8-9 weeks after that with Rutgers last year where you didn't know who the coach was going to be. You didn't know definitively it was going to be Schiano. And I get it. It was frustration for the fans. And it's the same thing here. But right now with Gase, the thing you have to remember is if you're ever going to fire him, at the moment, there's honestly only one reason, Matt, and thanks for the call. And I think Dan Orlovsky really articulated it brilliantly earlier today on Greeny. Take a listen to Dan Orlovsky on why firing Adam Gase, it's not directly about that, but it's kind of about that, on why the coaching, as far as Sam is concerned, and making the move sooner rather than later would help.
I think both these guys are going to suffer from what's around them. You just pray and hope that these guys have absolute fortresses around their mind. When you play on a bad team that's getting coached poorly week after week and you're just getting beat up, you know what starts to happen? You start to think that you're the reason why. You start to think that, you know what? Maybe I'm not that good. And doubt becomes a very real enemy in the NFL for a young quarterback.
If it is a case of trying to salvage Sam Darnold and still believing in his ability, but you feel like you need to get him away from Adam Gase because that doubt is creeping in and there's not much that the head coach is providing for him that is helping with that. If that is all the case, then you do it sooner rather than later. Then you fire him now. Because at the very least, you want to try to get his brain in a proper mindset. get it in a spot where he is not completely losing faith in everything that he is doing. If you want to try to save him, to save his quarterback's soul, and you think that's a big part of why it's disappearing, then you go ahead and do it. Look, one thing is very clear about Adam Gase's future from what we've seen the past few days and when it's actually going to come to a head. It's very clear, and we'll tell you when that is when we come back. It's Carlin, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. Call, lament, own it. You can share your pain. It's okay. I'm cheaper than a therapist. I have a lot less insight. That's why I'm cheaper.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
That it is. Some other words that I came up with from thesaurus.com during the break to describe the Giants and Jets. Abhorrent, appalling, awful, disastrous, dreadful, ghastly, gruesome, hideous, horrid, horrifying, unfortunate, unpleasant. Repulsive, revolting, petrifying. It's all there. I'll start using more words other than atrocious and god-awful. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Yankees and the Cleveland Indians begin tomorrow night. And I know that Yankee fans are more concerned these days about the fact that they have not been consistent this year. 16-6. And then you lose 15 of 20. Then you win 10 in a row, and you end the season the way that you did, in uninspiring fashion. Let me tell you something. All of it means absolutely nothing at this point. You have a game in game one where it's Gerrit Cole and it's Shane Bieber. And obviously, there is so much pitching talent that is going to be sharing the mound tomorrow night in Cleveland. Those two guys are awesome. Look at what Shane Bieber's done this year. He's the American League Cy Young Award winner. He's been off the charts good this season. 8-1, 1.63, 0.87 whip. And in 77 and a third innings, only 46 hits. Wow. Wow. Now that we also know what Gerrit Cole has been down the stretch of the season as well, and what he's capable of in the postseason. There are two big factors here that you have to consider. Number one, the Yankees offensively are just a much better team. So to me, if you get two, maybe three runs tomorrow night, you're winning the game. I think Gerrit Cole is going to be that good against a Cleveland team that is just not very good offensively. Outside of Jose Ramirez, who's been phenomenal, you know, Francisco Lindor has not been good, especially lately. Lindor is in the midst of a 6 for his last 43 stretch, and that is 139. 139. So I look at that, and I look at the rest of that lineup and the fact that the Indians finished 26th in the league in baseball in runs scored. 26th. I'm looking at two things, and they're somewhat obvious, but doesn't change the fact that they're the biggest factor. The Yankee bullpen, beyond Cole, later in the series, because I'm expecting a big-time performance from Cole, and the fact that they just have to score a couple of runs. And this series is all about DJ LeMahieu. You know, as inconsistent as a lot of the Yankee offense has been at times this season, you have to look at the fact that you have a couple of guys like LeMahieu, like Luke Voit for that matter, with all his home runs, but he hasn't struck out nearly as much as you think he would. These two guys have carried the day. And to me, LeMahieu's going to carry the day offensively. He's going to set a tone. If the Yankees get runners on base and they give him opportunities, LeMahieu is going to get the job done. I truly believe that. And all you have to do is look at last year's postseason. So offensively, it's not changing an entire approach. Just getting a little something from the other guys. If Aaron Judge is 70% of what he's supposed to be, if Stanton gives you something, these other guys are going to carry the day. Yankees are going to win this series. I fully believe that. Now, it may take them three games to do it because of how good Carlos Carrasco has been. But for once, just once, they don't have to light up the great pitching. Just give you a little something, little bit of help. You get a little bit of help, and that's going to be enough. It may take three games, but I absolutely would be shocked if the Yankees lose to the Indians. 800-919-3776. Danny in Brooklyn is next on 98.7 ESPN. Hello, Daniel.
Chris, thank you for taking my call, my friend. I think you forgot two adjectives. I think pitiful and murky are two words that we're missing.
Murky is kind of cloudy. There was nothing cloudy about this. That sucked. That was very clear.
That's fair. That's a fair point. Yeah. I guess I'm just calling about just as a frustrated Giant fan. You know, like a lot of Jet fans call in or Jet fans are upset, and rightfully so. Both New York teams are playing terrible football, but the Jets just simply don't have talent. The Giants, when I watch them, it just seems like we're just a disinterested football team, and it's a poorly built roster. And at what point? And I was not someone that was on Gettleman saying that he, you know, give him time. We've given him time. And you look at there's a lot more misses than a lot more hits. You know, yes, we hit with Slayton. And, you know, but beyond that, I mean, we could have gotten a first rounder for Landon Collins at a certain point. We missed that. We let him go to a division rival for free. We drafted, who else did we draft? We drafted Sam Beal with a conditional third round pick. He's not even playing this year. We spent money on our offensive line with Nate Solder. He's another one. He's out this year. We traded up for a first-round pick to go get
Those two are out for the COVID reasons, but Nate Solder was terrible when he was here, and Sam Beal hasn't done anything.
Right, and that's really just the point that I'm arriving at, is just that it just seems that there's so many misses with this roster, and I don't know if he has or not, and maybe I missed it, but I'm curious to see Gettleman in a news conference and speak to this, because the way this team is playing is just disinterested football. That is a poorly built roster. And then, you know, you look at, and I love Saquon. I think he's a great leader. I think he says all the right things, and this wasn't his fault that he got injured, but you look at the Indianapolis Colts, and Phillip Rivers is ancient at this point. But who could have we gotten in that? They have Quentin Nelson, who's an all-pro offensive lineman. And, you know, and you look at our roster, and I mean, it's like Daniel Jones is supposed to be a mobile quarterback. I haven't seen anything from Daniel Jones this year that's made me say, you know what, we're improving. Give this guy time. I feel like, honestly, the clock is starting on Daniel Jones. And frankly, I don't think he has just this year. I would give him the benefit of the doubt that he has next year, too.
Oh, he gets next year, too.
Obviously, but this team, I mean, from Evan Ingram doesn't show up, Sterling Shepard, we gave him $48 million when he just cannot stay healthy. I mean, this roster seamlessly somehow is regressing, and I didn't know if that's possible, but it just seems that way. And
it's possible.
That's all I really had to say.
It is that way, and thanks for the call. Absolutely, Danny, it's true. The roster has regressed. It absolutely has. You can look at it a lot of different ways. They are not better talent-wise than when he got here. And I am including the fact that Barkley is not on the field. Great player, good talent, not on the field. And okay, that happens, but you know, are they a better team than when he got here? They're not. They're worse. And yes, it's the middle of a rebuild, but that's not what we were talking about at the beginning with our buddy, Dave Gettleman. What we were talking about was getting this back to a winning situation, and he was trying to do it by putting Band-Aids on it. Now, he may have known that the Giants needed to rebuild, and ownership didn't want to do that, but even so, if that's the case, then maybe you don't take the job. 800-919-3776. The Jets, they have something very positive happening for them. But before Thursday, they've got a major mistake that they have to avoid.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
You want to feel better, Jet fans? Here's a couple of things for you, okay? Why are you going to feel better about this? I'll tell you in a second. Ozzie Newsome has built two Super Bowl winners, drafted three Hall of Famers, and picked 25 Pro Bowlers. Wow. Who's one of the guys Joe Douglas learned from and worked for a long time? Ozzie Newsome with the Ravens from the very beginning of his career. That's something to be very encouraged by. Coming from good stock. And secondly, they got very good news on Mekhi Becton. And the MRI came back, and apparently no real damage, not very bad, and they think that there is an outside chance that he could potentially play on Thursday night. In no way should Mekhi Becton be playing on Thursday night. In no way should that happen. This is one of the very few, if not the big, and certainly the biggest, if not the only bright spot of this season. There is no need whatsoever for him to be playing on a short week on Thursday night. I know, you know, if you're Adam Gase, you got to win the game and all that, right? No. Gase threw out today that there was an outside chance. There is absolutely no reason whatsoever for Mekhi Becton to be playing this Thursday night. Don't screw this up. No need. Pat, Lake Grove, very patient. Pat, how you doing, brother?
Hey, Chris, how you doing? I 100% agree with you on Mekhi Becton. There's no reason to run him out there on Thursday night against the Broncos pass rush. But you know what? You can't run this clown Adam Gase out of town fast enough. You know, thinking back on it, Rex Ryan and Todd Bowles, say what you want about the two of them, but the significant difference is between the two of them and this head coach right now is that you can tell that the players wanted to play hard under Bowles and Rex Ryan, and I don't necessarily see that under Adam Gase. It looks to me like, you know, like they just can't get home fast enough. I mean, it's just like you don't see them playing hard under him. And Peyton Manning called up Christopher Johnson and made the phone call and told him to hire this clown. But when has Peyton Manning ever come to New Jersey to come see his good friend Adam Gase and, you know, maybe stop in the locker room and give a few pointers to Sam Darnold? I haven't seen that happen, and, you know, it kind of blows my mind.
Yeah, no, I think that the problem, though, is, you know, you haven't seen it happen doesn't mean it hasn't happened. So I'm not going to cast that aspersion on him. But what I would say is Peyton Manning making a phone call to hire Adam Gase, that should not be the only thing that ever that ever should get somebody hired. And I've seen that many times with coaches over the years. When the right big-time person wants their guy to get a job, they go out of their way to help him out. But I would say that he doesn't really hold the kind of weight that he should in getting coaches hired, especially after one that just got fired. That should not have been the case.
100%. What is your take on, you know, seeing players like Ryan Tannehill, Devontae Parker, and Kenyon Drake, I mean, just start playing so much better once they escape the Adam Gase offense? Do you think that's a testament to Gase, or do you think that's just them going into a better system overall?
I think it's a combination of both. I think it's, and thanks for the call, I think it's a few things. I think for Tannehill, he's obviously better. To be fair to Gase, he was healthy only half the time that Gase was there. But Tannehill also now has Derrick Henry. But I don't think there's any doubt that you can look at Tannehill having developed into a quarterback, gets a big contract this past offseason, and look at Gase and wonder what's going on here. Why is that guy playing better? Why is Kenyon Drake a better player now with the Cardinals? You know, they traded away Jay Ajayi a couple of years ago to the Eagles for nothing. He went to Philadelphia and helped them win a Super Bowl. So that's very fair to say. There have been players, you know, that have left Gase and have done better. There have been. Richard in Manhattan. Hello, Richard.
Hey, Chris. Chris, do you know who, in my opinion, is having a worst year? Now, I'm only talking about this year, from January 1st, 2020 to September 28th, 2020. So that's 9 months. This guy is having a worse year than Gettleman, Van Wagenen, the Wilpons, James Dolan, Adam Gase, Woody Johnson.
This is quite a list of people. I mean, this, you know.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
I don't.
Okay. How many games did the Yankees win last year?
What, 102?
102. 103? Yeah. This year they finished 33-27. Do you know what that goes to? Over 160?
Yeah, no, I know.
What does it go to?
Not even 90 games.
89, Chris. 14 games under, which is fine. Do you know how much it cost him to finish 14 games worse than last year?
Yeah, are you saying Brian Cashman?
Brian Cashman, do you know what he spent to come 14 games lower this year?
Well, what did they spend it on? They spent it on Garrett Cole.
Chris, you didn't answer my question. Do you know how much money he spent to go 14 games under from last year?
Yeah, Richard, none of that matters if Garrett Cole...
But you're not answering my question, Chris.
But Richard, he spent $34 million on Garrett Cole alone.
$34 million? What are you talking $34 million?
This year.
He spent a third of a billion to get this guy.
Yes.
A third of a
billion. If they win a championship because of him, it'll be worth it.
Wait. But I didn't say... I'm talking about as of September 28th, 2020. He spent a third of a billion on this guy and finished 14 games lower.
Yeah,
you call that a good year?
Richard.
You think if George Steinbrenner was alive, Richard, right now, he wouldn't have erupted as a volcano?
No, I don't think he would have erupted.
Are you kidding?
Richard, on this, because when you're talking about the best pitcher in the game outside
of
DeGrom.
The team finished 14 games lower.
But it's all Gary Cole's fault. He pitches once every 5 days. Team couldn't hit to save their lives. They had a billion injuries, and you're putting it all on Garrett Cole?
I'm not blaming anyone. I'm just saying that
you're talking about a third of $1 billion on one guy, but at the same time, he pitches once every 5 days, and everybody was under a ton of injuries. And you want to talk about winning 102 games? How about the fact that they won 102 games last year, 103 games, with 9 billion injuries last year? And they still got it done. And this guy went out and got DJ LeMahieu for $26 million.
I'm talking about only these last 9 months. This has not been a good year for Brian
Cashman. That's like saying I've had a bad day today, Richard. Thanks for the call. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible statement to make. It makes no sense. It's utterly ridiculous. It's why we have an alarm to know that you're coming aboard, because look out, Jack. Here it comes. Richard. There are times where I can roll with you, brother. We can make this happen. And there are times that I want to throw you a GPS because you're so lost. This is one of those times. 800-919-3776. John and Vernon is up next. John, is that Vernon, New Jersey? John, I can barely hear you. You there? I don't know. You sound like a CB. John, call back. We got a bad connection there. We'll get you right back up, I promise. 800-919-3776. Oh, yes, Huey in St. Louis up next. Hello, brother.
Carlin, how are you, man?
Good. What's going on?
I think I followed Richard the last time, too, and I totally lost my concentration.
Understandable.
I don't know what I'm calling in about. I'm kidding. my goodness. So a couple things here. You know, Giants fan forever, and I've actually had Gettleman's back up until reading Pat Leonard's article today. And that, I don't know if you saw it or not, but he pointed out all these different things that Gettleman has not come through on. And, you know, I think the biggest telling thing is going to be if the Giants do get the number one pick, it means Daniel Jones is not the guy, right? I mean, unfortunately, it's going to be a very telling about Jones if somehow the Giants get their number one pick. You got to believe he can win a couple of games on his own.
The quarterbacks are going to have played a major role in that.
Yes. Now, I will say this. We can't judge by three games. And I think some people are looking already to go after him. I mean, the reality is the cupboard's bare. And I thought there was more talent on this team, and I expected more from the defensive line. I mean, he's drafted poorly, Gettleman. You look at some of the Kyle Walletta deal, and you know, I guess you know you can compare that to Christian Hackenberg, I guess, with the Jets. But I didn't see the effort yesterday that I was hoping to see, and that's a Niners team that was on the ropes and ready for a takedown, and the Giants did not show up, and I Judge, if he came out last night with, hey, there were positives, I would have lost my mind. This is something though, and I told you last time, this whole thing really starts with John Mara, and it's sad that it's come to that, but they're going to have to go outside the organization. Enough of, you know, hey, we want somebody who's got the Giant lineage here. They're going to have to find somebody who's not attached to the Giants, and I think just go from there.
No, listen, it can't have anything to do with, you know, being comfortable with who it is. It just has to be getting the right person. So accurate about that, Huey. It's beyond true.
And when Gettleman came in and he said, hey, if I leave here and I've left you with a number one quarterback, I will have done my job. Well, you know, if you don't build around him, it doesn't mean anything. And we've seen that with so many other teams. And you know, we look back at the Giants' success in Eli's early years, it was because they built up the both lines. And they were strong both offensively and defensively on those two lines. And again, there was only one Hall of Famer. None of those other guys going to the Hall of Fame.
Nope.
So they were just solid players. And I that's where I think, you know, some of the guys he's brought in, the offensive line guys, the guy from Jacksonville,
Omame. He was
Omame,
terrible.
Right, yeah. It was brutal. I mean, he was cut after, what, 6-7 games?
Yeah.
And again, there's not a true play. Evan Ingram's been the biggest disappointment. I mean, I every week I wait for that guy to have a big game, and he seems to fall apart. And I believe that was a restraft pick. I get it, but still, he every year we wait for you know Evan Ingram to burst on the scene. It just doesn't happen. So
he's not a Gettleman guy, though. Remember that he was Jerry Reese's last draft.
Right.
But you're right. I keep waiting for him to do something, and he's done nothing.
But you realize what will happen is they won't pick up his contract to go somewhere, become a Pro Bowl tight end, you know, with the right people around him. I just it's been a rough couple of years, Chris. Thank God that as a lifelong Giant fan, I've had some very good memories. But the last 4 years have been extremely difficult. And again, I've said this a million times. Poor Eli. You realize today, it really, you know, it wasn't all on him. The organization has done a very poor job of building this team from within.
Well, I think a lot of people are seeing that, and I appreciate the call. I do think that Eli was part of the problem, but I don't think it was there were a lot of problems. There were a lot of problems around the whole thing. And really, that when you look at it objectively, that's a fair statement.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.